Basically, their program today is null and void, but the NCAA wouldn't do the one thing they should have done, which is to say, take Penn State off television. And why wouldn't they take Penn State off television? Because it wouldn't have been politically expedient to do so, because Michigan's fans want to see them when they play. And it would have hurt the NCAA's revenue-wise, because they're a big draw in the Northeast. Penn State is a big draw, and will remain a big draw, with a huge Subway alumni. All that said, let's get NCAA attorney Michael Buckner in here. I want to get his thoughts on this issue. He represents schools and coaches in NCAA cases. And Michael Buckner, first of all, your thoughts on my thoughts as I open the program today, and then we'll get to what the NCAA did. Hello, sir.
Well, first of all, thank you for having me. I agree with almost every single thing that you said, so there's no sense of us starting this interview then, because you said everything correctly. The one thing I will disagree with you on is, although the NCAA is not a legal entity, we do rely upon precedent within the NCAA processes. The enforcement process is a very intricate, detailed, methodical process in which the Committee on Infractions relies upon prior cases that it has decided. And we rely upon interpretations of our existing bylaws, and that's what we rely upon in our cases. And I do that on a day-to-day basis. The problem that I have with this situation is not that Penn State should not be punished. I believe that if the actions of the administrators and of the coaches are true, according to the free report, that Penn State should be punished by some entity. My question is that should it be the NCAA? And if it is the NCAA, then the NCAA should have used its existing processes and procedures to do so. Now they have created a situation which is now they're entering into a slippery slope.
That's my point. You know, I'm so glad you bring that up.
Well, because
at this situation, Michael,
yeah.
They've now gone off the reservation.
Yeah.
Now Pandora's box is open.
Correct. I mean, you have heard, you know, and we hear it all the time about coaches, student-athletes involved in criminal behavior. We just had in last year a Virginia lacrosse player, I believe, murdered another student-athlete. We've had the Duke lacrosse team being alleged to have committed sexual assault. Again, they were later exonerated. You had the Baylor case from several years ago in which a player was murdered. You had cases in which there were sexual assaults going on all the time. So now are we now saying that sexual assaults against children are more egregious than sexual assaults against women? Is that what the NCAA is saying now?
Wow.
And so now I have clients that are concerned. Emory has used Constitutional Provision 2.4, which is a very broad constitutional provision, which talks about honesty, morality. Can you imagine the type of actions now if he really wants to enact punishment against the morality of coaches and student-athletes and administrators? That can open up just about anything.
Are you surprised that Penn State... And Brian, put me back on the big thing, would you please? Are you surprised that Penn State has agreed to and signed off on this without a fight?
I think during our last conversation, I think I kind of predicted that although I believe that the NCAA did not have the precedent to do this, that Emory was going to do it, and if he did, that Penn State would be hard-pressed to fight it because of public pressure. So, no, I'm not surprised.
And public pressure really is why this happened, doesn't it? I mean, let's face it.
Yeah.
If the media wasn't beating the drum, there's no way he stands up there today. If he could have gotten away with it, they would have not done this today. Is that correct?
Correct. I believe so. I think that if you look at the actions of President Emory, and a lot of things I agree and applaud what he's doing with the NCAA, but I do think at times he rushes processes in which should take a little bit better time to vet. You look at what happened when he tried to do the multi-year scholarship proposal and rush it through. The membership rose up to that, and they had to stop and slow down and revise it. I think Although, again, Penn State should be punished, but the manner and the process that was used to punish them, I think, is perplexing.
That's my point. People are accusing me right now of being hypocritical. As I was saying a couple weeks ago, that it was confounding to me, and this is the day the Free Report broke, but it was confounding to me that they were up in donations, that they were having an excellent recruiting class, and that it looked like they were not going to get through this with any marks on them. In other words, it looked like they were going to come through this thing unscathed as far as on the field went, and then also at the box office. And I, at that point in time, we were just talking about out loud what should the NCAA do. But that's a far cry from what the NCAA did. Michael, I don't understand how you can do what you did to Penn State today and still allow them to play on television. Would you, from a legal standpoint and what you guys do, would you please explain that to me?
Well, I think if you notice, they haven't imposed, even in the enforcement process, they haven't imposed a television ban for numerous years. And it's a very simple reason, and you touched upon it. It goes back to money and contracts. The Big Ten, Penn State, has entered into sophisticated contracts worth tens of millions of dollars, and if not more. And if you ban Penn State from, they've already been banned from the bowls, but if you ban Penn State from being on television, you will impact dramatically other NCAA member institutions. They had nothing to do with the scandal at Penn State. So that's something that the NCAA now is, I mean, back in the day when they did these type of television bans, you didn't have the type of money involved that you do now.
What did you think of Amber's performance this morning?
I think in terms of, you know, his delivery was confident, smooth. He answered questions. You know, now I can debate him on some of his points. I think there were times, I don't know if you picked up on it, he was trying to play some gymnastics sometimes with some of his answers in terms of one of the media members asked him to comment on his thoughts on the personal behavior of Joe Paterno, and he declined because the criminal process has to play out and we don't want to interfere in the criminal process. Well, President Emmert, you just interfered with the criminal process. You just commented on what you felt was the legacy of Joe Paterno by issuing a vacation of all of his wins back to 1998. You just made a conclusion. So to me, he was being inconsistent with the sanctions of the NCAA versus what he did not want to say publicly this morning.
Michael Buckner is our guest. He's an NCAA attorney, and he's joined us in the past when Tennessee was going through what they went through. And, Michael, my whole problem with the NCAA has always been that they have different – it's like NASCAR, different rules for different drivers on different Sundays.
Right.
And I just can't figure out and you follow these things. Did you, from where you were when you heard the NCAA was getting involved – did you envision it would look like this? Did you think it would be lighter? Did you think it would be worse?
I didn't realize that they're going to impose the fine that they did. I thought there were going to be some scholarship hits. I thought there was going to be a postseason bowl ban. I thought there was going to be some type of probation. I could see them doing even some of the monitoring that they're going to, you know, that third party monitoring. I could see that happening. What I wasn't expecting was the vacation of wins. And that surprised me, especially since the Free Report, I'm sure you and your listeners have read it thoroughly now by now. There were a lot of instances in which Judge Free took a lot of inferences when he didn't have direct evidence of something and made a reasonable conclusion. And in the enforcement process, we normally don't take those reasonable conclusions. There has to be some type of evidence that attaches to each fact, to each finding. And if that's what the NCAA is going to rely upon, you know, I think that's serious precedential, bad precedent for these cases going forward.
So they took reasonable findings as conclusions? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, there were instances in which, you know, there were emails where the reference was coach in there in terms of communications between the administrators about what to do about Sandusky, and there was emphasis about coach and some other inferences that alluded to perhaps Joe Paterno knew about it. and was directing that there not be anything done about the allegations. And without interviewing people that had direct knowledge of that and acknowledged that Joe Paterno said A, B, and C on that particular issue, you're taking an inference as to what may have occurred. And when you're dealing with these type of situations and due process involved, due and fair process, you want to make sure that your conclusions are backed up by the evidence and not by a reasonable conclusion.
Does Penn State, in conclusion, do they have any recourse here since they signed off on this in a court of law? I would imagine they don't. But let me ask you, that's part one. Part two is, if they wouldn't have signed off on this, would they have had, in your opinion, any potential recourse in a court of law?
First part, no, they don't have any recourse now. If they are going to enter into an agreement with the NCAA and the Big Ten Conference, no, they don't. They have taken themselves out of pursuing any type of appeal within the NCAA structure, as well as any legal challenge, if they want to continue with that agreement. Of course, Penn State has every right, I think, to get out of the agreement and to, if they feel, you know, pressure from their alums and boosters to fight this, they can pull out of it now and fight it.
Is that right? Is that right?
The second half of it is that they did have legal recourse. They could have filed a lawsuit in state or federal court under various due process concerns and allegations. The courts have been very clear that athletic associations like the NCAA or voluntary membership organizations like unions and other collective bargaining units, you must provide a defined process if you're going to discipline your members.
So let me ask you something. You've been around this a long time,
mm-hmm.
and I've talked with a couple of alums in this area, and I talked with one, my brother up in Pennsylvania, who's a graduate of Penn State, and who's highly, 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 and he's a money donor there as well. He's done okay for himself. He said, there's no way we should stand by and let this happen. They've just killed our program. And I would imagine that's probably being said around that state. Do you think that school will be pressured into pulling out of this agreement they've made with the NCAA? Because it looks to me like that was bad business for Penn State.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting. I don't know the answer to that because I don't know the internal politics at Penn State. I do know just by reading and talking with media members that there is a lot of pressure building from supporters and alums and boosters of Penn State. You also have to add in the element what's going on with the political element in that state. What's the governor saying? What are some of the state legislatures saying about this? And whether or not that's going to, bear for Penn State and its decision going forward. So there's a lot of local campus, local and state and national politics that are going to be involved in this decision to see whether or not Penn State goes forth with this agreement with the NCAA.
Would they have a shot in court? If they pulled out and they took them to court, would they have a shot?
With these type of lawsuits, I always tell clients you're going to have probably about 30-40% success rate, potentially, in these type of cases against a athletic association, because of course give deference to athletic associations. But I think the stakes are so high and so great because you're right, they have basically decimated this program, and to punish innocent people, that have no involvement in the tragedy that went on. And I think, I don't think they would have had a great shot, but they would have had a fighting chance to have their day in court.
Why doesn't the NCAA fare better in court in some of these big cases they get into, Michael, when people take them to court? And I go back to some of the bigger cases like, Jerry Tarkanian, the deal with the restricted earnings coaches several years ago, that was a huge case. And some of the other ones that they've been involved with, why don't they fare better in a court of law?
I think, the NCAA is always getting sued in relation to this abortion process, and they are victorious more often than not. But when you have these high-profile cases, sometimes they're not. And if you look at these high-profile cases, you mentioned Jerry Tarkanian, time the NCAA loses one of these high-profile legal cases, that has forced the enforcement process to change. Back before Jerry Tarkanian's case, they didn't record interviews. Now we record interviews. There was more safeguards put into the enforcement process. There's still some things that need to be changed with the enforcement process, and it's going to take other lawsuits, I think, to force the NCAA to do that. But, you know, the NCAA has lost in some of these cases because they didn't have or afford parties the appropriate due and fair process. I think that if Penn State did not agree to this, this would have been a perfect test case to see where or not the NCAA had the authority to do what they did this morning.
Michael Buckner, your law firm is, and how do folks find you if they need to find you, my friend?
Sure. It's the Michael L. Buckner Law Firm, and they can find us on our website, www.michaelbucknerlaw.com.
Really appreciate you joining us and shining some light on this deal. And to wrap things up, and I'll give you the final thought here, anything else you want to add or add to our conversation today, but you think this is sort of a dark day for the NCAA and what they did today?
Well, I think it's a dark day for the NCAA because what happened in Penn State impacts all of athletics, and people are looking at this situation and impacts the student athletes at Penn State and, of course, most importantly, the victims that were involved in this situation years back. But it's also a dark day because in order to deal with these egregious acts on behalf that was committed by Penn State administrators and by coaches, that they had to go outside and establish processes, and which will create, I think, unneeded and unwelcome precedent in the years going forward when we don't have objective standards as how to judge and punish member institutions that will engage in equally egregious acts from this point forward.
Michael, thank you again. Great talking with you. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Michael Buckner joining us.